Hello and welcome to a special announcement and an apology from me, Seth Lawrence, one of the hosts of Disorganized Religion. So first, I'm sorry that it's taken me so long to get this episode out, but I wanted to do it right. And the other is because Travis and I have sort of an announcement, all right? We are trying to do some things differently at Disorganized Religion because we want to motivate you to go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/disorganizedreligion. From now on, what you're going to get for free are highlights of the conversation that we have with our guest. And if you want the whole thing, you got to go to our Patreon page. It's only $5 a month, and at that price point, you get everything. That's it. That's all there is. We only have one price point, and for $5 a month, you get everything we have to offer. That's the full episodes, audio and video, and also some extras. All right? Our first series that we're producing is a reaction series where I watch, for the first time, Under the Banner of Heaven, which is a series on Hulu starring Andrew Garfield. That's all about my people. Travis watched it, had a bunch of questions, and he came to me. So we're watching it, and I'm answering his questions as we watch the show. It's a lot of fun. It's very frustrating. Go ahead, give it a watch. You watch it with us. All right? That's $5 a month at our Patreon page, patreon.com/disorganizedreligion. For now, you're going to hear highlights of the conversation that we have with Earl Skakel. He's a fantastic comedian, a genuinely nice and good person. We talk about his background, being raised as a Jew because his mom was Jewish, but in the Catholic faith because his dad was Catholic. We have a great conversation. It's good. You're going to hear some highlights. If you want the whole thing, go to our Patreon page. Thanks and enjoy.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome. I hope you enjoyed the conversation you're about to witness between me and another comedian. These are conversations I'm calling Disorganized Religion. God bless. And for any atheists out there, may nothing await you after this life.
Every time.
There is hope for you today. Come to Jesus, he is the way.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Disorganized Religion. We're sorry we missed you last week. I was ill. Yeah. I caught the dreaded COVID, but we're back. We're good to go. I'm your host, Seth Lawrence, as always. We are joined by the fantastically beautiful, gorgeous Travis the Clyburn.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
We're also joined by the disembodied voice of the master behind the keys, Ms. Katie Clyburn.
Hello, hello.
Today, our fantastic guest. We are honored to have him. He's known for being on The Jellies and Dying Up Here. I'm Dying Up Here, Showtime series. He's also known for Roast Battle, regular at the Comedy Store. The one, the only, the mighty Earl Skakel.
It's a lot of credits for someone who's as unknown as I am.
No, not unknown.
I'm like the most known unknown comic in Los Angeles.
Yeah. What are they, a comic comic? Is that what another way to phrase it?
Well, that's the kiss of death.
Is that?
Yeah. Does that mean comics love you?
And nobody else?
The industry hates you. It's not even that they hate you. They just don't care. Which is even worse than hate.
Ooh, right. Yeah. No opinion at all.
Indifference, definitely.
Yeah, that's in our world.
Yeah.
You know, you will get signed if you are a hated comic. If people think they can make money off of you.
Right. Hate gets clicks.
I mean, well, especially in the roasting world,
right,
which I guess I'm put into because of Roast Battle, it's like, hey, people tune in to see him lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, here I am.
Well, we are honored to have you. Thank you so much for doing this.
I love the. Thank you guys. I love the ant girl.
Yeah.
Be careful these days.
I know.
But I love the concept.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you. We'll see how you feel about it after. Yeah. Maybe you'll disagree. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. When did you start comedy?
I started so long ago. I literally don't remember when I started.
That's amazing. Because you've been doing it for forever now.
I mean, I would say maybe 98. I dabbled in it.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Because I remember one of my first sets was at the Starbucks in the Beverly Connection, which is on 3rd and La Cienega.
Yeah.
You know, for,
you for the locals listening.
For you local yokels.
Yeah.
And but I wouldn't say I was doing comedy in 98. I was jumping in. But then by 2000, I was going up. I was a maniac.
Yeah.
Three times a night, seven nights a week.
Nice.
Never took a night off.
Jeez.
Even on nights where I would go see, like, say, Kiss and Irvine.
Uh-huh.
You know their last song's Rock and Roll All Night. So I would stand by the exit. The bombs would go off, the confetti, the lasers, everything they can do to make you forget how crappy their music is. And I would run to the parking lot, drive to Van Nuys to do an open mic.
Wow.
I mean, I was, like, had a work ethic that was, I've not seen, other than Dean Del Rey.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone with the work ethic I had in the beginning.
Interesting. And
now
that was
I'm
your
lazy.
Life. That was your life, was like rock and roll shows and open mics.
Oh yeah, open mics. I wasn't getting booked a lot at clubs. You know, I did, I think, Potluck once or twice, and then I saw Brody Stevens make someone cry.
Was he up on stage?
He
was hosting, yeah.
Wow. He was the host, and this kid from San Diego came up, and he bombed. And like, but this is not the comedy store that you guys see today.
Right.
It was just the worst energy. And so when you bombed back then, it was a bomb.
Yeah.
And Brody, I can't do a good Brody impression, but he's like, "Where are you from, boy?" And the guy, he knew he had not done well. It's like, La Jolla. And Brody's like, "Well, that's going to be a lot longer of a drive now." And I've never seen the kid since.
Yeah, is that right?
So I was like, I don't think the store's where I should be starting.
Yeah.
And then just the open mics for years.
Yeah.
Nice. But that toughened me up.
All right, here's our first jump. You're missing stories that he tells about getting on Comedy Central through Roast Battle and opening up for Rob Schneider. We're going to jump to his next big milestone.
And what was the experience of passing the store?
Oh, I had a panic attack 20 minutes before my audition because they had fired Tommy. He was the booker who looked like Tom Petty. Strange guy, you know, had some interesting accounting methods.
Is that what got him fired?
You know,
the creative accounting or something else that didn't help.
There's 100 people in the room who've paid $20 each, so what is that, $2,000? And there's only $17.50 in the till.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, sure.
So they, I'll never forget when I heard he got fired. We were doing Roast Battle in La Jolla. And we were eating afterwards, and someone, I think Jeff Ross, got a phone call, and he told whoever's next to him, and it literally was like that shampoo commercial where you tell two people, they tell two people.
Yeah.
And it got around the table in about 10 seconds, and we were literally all jumping up and down. Like, oh, my, he's gone. Like, we all at that table were unpassed. We have a chance.
Oh. Had he been kind of holding people up? Is that?
He was holding me up for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That I'm still not sure.
These have weird taste.
You know, I just think it's a very powerful position to be the booker at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam had it. Emily has it now.
Right.
You know, you literally are getting phone calls from every manager, every agent, from the biggest. You know, there's a lot of big comics who aren't passed there.
Yeah.
Because it's not for everyone.
Right.
You know, it's you guys have been up there a lot. It's an energy. You know.
Kind of dark.
Well, that's why Roast Battle did so well there.
Yeah.
It still does well.
Right.
You couldn't do Roast Battle at, say, the Improv or Laugh Factory. It just would not have worked.
Yeah.
Even Comic Wars at the Improv is it's a little more fun.
Yeah. It's more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Than Roast Battle.
Than the raw energy of Roast Battle.
I mean, well, because the Belly Room, as you guys know, the ceilings are low. The walls are relatively close to each other.
Yeah, it's a little dungeon up there.
I mean, if you like wrestling, it's a very ECW feel.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm talking in that one arena where they would let people smoke. And,
none of the wrestlers have teeth.
The popular guy, the Sandman, would drink beer going to the ring.
Yeah.
So no one wanted to wrestle him because by the time he got to the ring, he was completely blasted.
Yeah.
So I never sweat even when I work out.
Yeah.
Like I did the elliptical tonight before I came here for almost 2 hours, barely broke a sweat.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But 20 minutes before, it's weird.
I'm jealous because I'm a slug, bro. I'm sweating sitting here.
But that's great, though. Like, you know, but for whatever reason, my sweat glands don't work or whatever. Even when I'm in a sauna, I don't sweat.
Interesting.
And it's really one of the few times in my life, 20 minutes before my showcase, I'm naked on my bathroom floor, drenched.
Yeah.
Like, wow. That's a proper panic attack.
Like yeah,
hardcore one. Wow.
I was bent over my toilet bowl. I hadn't had anything to eat, but I had to throw up.
Wow.
And
jeez.
I mean, I literally, like, the gods or my parents in heaven or whatever, you know, we'll get into what I believe in, but whatever I believe in, like, literally pulled me up and said, "You got to go, dude. You got to get ready."
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of pressure on me because everyone had told Adam, "Hey, you have to pass Earl."
Oh,
because he's been up here forever.
Yeah,
everyone loves him.
Yeah,
I mean, even my enemies like me.
Yeah.
But they might not think I'm funny, but you know, very few people have said a bad word about me in the 50,000 years I've done comedy. Adam, you know, the week before the showcase, like, "Hey, I'm going to showcase you, but I'm not going to pass you just because
everyone wants it."
You know, I can't pass you just because we're friends,
right?
So I remember I forget who went on before me. They had an okay set, and then I just had the perfect, not that it's a set because it's 6 minutes, but the perfect 6 minute showcase set.
Yeah.
Where the first joke did okay, second joke did good, third joke did really good, and then my closer at the time was when I auditioned for Sons of Anarchy and I had to say the N-word. But about halfway in my show, so about the 3 minute mark, I saw Chris D'Elia walk in.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, pre his troubles.
Yeah.
But like this, he was the mountaintop.
Yes.
And I can assure you, Chris did not come in to watch another dude do stand up.
Right.
But he came in to watch me. So I had like
that's great.
Yeah. No, I mean,
yeah.
You know, without getting into that situation, like at that time, it was like, wow, I can't bomb in front of him. And then like, Theo Von came in to watch. Like, everyone was rooting for me.
Yeah.
And then I'll never forget, 2 days later, Moses called me up. I was in my underwear. It's like 11 in the morning. And he's like, "You can call in for spots." I'm like, it didn't register with me. I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You're passed."
Yeah.
And I literally ran around my condo crying. Because it was like the culmination.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rocky getting his shot.
Right.
Yeah.
So Adam didn't tell you in the moment after your set.
No.
He had to sit on it for 2 whole days.
Yeah. Man.
Time for another jump. Man, it kills me to cut these episodes up. But if you want the full thing, again, please go to patreon.com/disorganizedreligion. And hey, while you're on the internet, go over and visit a Rustic Dime. It's onedimetime.com. That's one O-N-E, then dimetime.com. For some fantastic clothes. They make jeans and shirts all right here in the good old US of A. This isn't even a solicited ad. I'm not getting paid for this. I just love their clothes, and I know the guy who makes them. He's fantastic. Please visit onedimetime.com. And now we're getting into the religious stuff that we discuss with Earl Skakel.
Me being Jewish, let's get
interesting.
Into it.
Yeah. Well, you brought up again the Comedy Store panic attack before getting passed, and that was kind of the first time you really mentioned like divine intervention at all.
Interaction, so even.
Right.
Yeah. I still don't know what it was. There was something that I had 20 minutes to get fully clothed.
Yeah.
I don't wear makeup, but like the moisturizers and all that, the hair gel.
Looked right.
Good, yeah.
I had to haul.
Yeah.
And something, this sounds insane, literally picked me up by my back and like, "Get ready, dude.
Yeah.
This is your shot. You ain't going to get another one for a while if you no show your..."
Yeah.
Because this was a big showcase because it was the first one Adam had done.
Right.
So
I
there
see.
Was a lot. It was, I've never seen the aura that packed. So
yeah.
Whoever helped me, God, Allah.
Yeah.
Vishnu.
who? Yeah, whatever. Like,
she's got a lot of arms.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, do you believe in any divine being at all, or what's your outlook on it in general?
Well, here's the weird thing. My mom's last name was Weinman.
Okay.
Obviously, very Jewish.
Yeah.
A rabbi would say
makes you
Jewish blood.
Yeah. So you're Jewish.
But I identify more with being Catholic because I was raised hardcore Catholic.
Interesting.
Was it for your dad?
Yeah. I mean, my dad, you know, he comes from the Irish Catholic world.
Okay.
You know, his sister is Ethel Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, probably the two most powerful Irish Catholic families at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know who is now. Merging.
Yeah.
It's like Nike and Adidas. Hey, let's be one.
Jeez.
So I was, Catholicism was ingrained in me much more than, I was not raised Jewish at all.
All right, here's another jump. What you're missing are some of Earl's stories about growing up and going to Catholic school, very religious Catholic school, and then some early issues with the Catholic faith that all led up to the culminating moment that led him away.
Well, I think what finally pushed me away from religion altogether was right after 9/11. You know, I went to church, and the priest was like, you know, 9/11 was God's way of teaching us a lesson. And I was like, you know, tell that to the
guy. But what's the lesson?
Yeah, your skin burns at 140 degrees. Tell that to the guy who had to jump off.
Right.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. A lot of people had to jump.
I mean, can you imagine? And that's an interesting story because, you know, the very famous picture of the first, I think he was the first person to jump. It's called The Falling Man.
Yeah.
Because he looks very, it seems like he's very calm in the picture.
His brother was an original member of the Village People. So it's like that has nothing to do with anything, but just I'm full of facts.
I'm just glad I know that.
A
now.
Fun
that's
thing
crazy.
To know. Yeah.
Because
that's
he
crazy.
Sent his brother a picture that day, you know, and like, and so they matched the outfit to, you know, so.
Wow.
But so that's when I was like, so that's what, 2001, 2002. I'm like, okay, I'm checking out of religion.
Yeah.
So I haven't literally been back to a church since.
Interesting.
Outside of a funeral.
Yeah.
Which I've gone to a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, do you believe in heaven? This is my final question, and then we'll go to our final segment.
Our favorite segment. My favorite segment.
Yeah. Do you believe in heaven? Like, do you still think there's an afterlife?
Yeah, I don't not believe in it, but I don't know what's up there.
Like, sure.
I mean, no one does, I guess, but.
Well.
Because I see.
Yeah. No,
well, I mean, I see so many bad things go on in this earth.
Yeah.
You know, all the suicides or the drive-by shootings where a baby gets killed.
Right.
And that happened a lot in the 80s, you know, like when the gang wars were like prevalent. And even living in West Hollywood, where I see a lot of, they're not just homeless people, but they're like mentally, I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah.
You know, they're effed for life.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there is some reward for those people and us up there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's what was presented to me as a child.
Sure.
Like
the harps and the robes. Or
yeah, like that was literally presented to me.
Yeah.
You die, your body literally flies up to heaven.
Yeah.
And then there's like a driveway gate that opens up.
Yeah.
And you walk in and like, this is how I imagine heaven or whatever is up there. And maybe this is just how I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like you... Like both my parents are passed away. I imagine I die tomorrow. I go up there. The driveway gate opens. I see my mom and dad in their human form in their prime.
Yeah.
Right.
I see every deceased dog I've ever had in my life.
Yep.
They'll go to heaven.
They run to me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping it's like.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I've done anything to deserve to go to hell.
Right.
Other than comedy,
other than bring joy to millions of people. Yeah.
I mean, I've tried to live a pretty good life.
Yeah,
I've certainly made some boo-boos in relationships, you know, cheating and all that stuff. But I don't think that gets you sent to hell. unless
that's a little harsh.
Yeah,
unless my exes are in charge of
the judgment,
then I'm definitely going to hell yeah. with sure. some of them. But
yeah,
so that's what I believe. I'm sure it's yeah. not like that.
Yeah,
but I just believe. But I believe this. Do we have time? Like, are yeah. we up?
I think so.
I yeah. think that when you die and go up there and you see your parents, you just walk around. It's like it's a big nightclub.
Yeah.
But you don't quite have your brain capacity, at least when you first get up there. So it's like, I'll go up to Jimi Hendrix and go, I know who you are. Well, he might not be in heaven. Maybe that's not a good Hendrix.
He might
Let's
be.
Let's say he is.
Yeah, sure.
He only harmed himself.
Right.
Yeah.
George Harrison.
Yeah, George
Whoever
Harrison,
you pick.
The drummer from Kiss.
Yeah, there you go.
Eric Carr.
Yeah.
I see Eric Carr. I'm like, I kind of like, I'm getting flashbacks of him drumming. I know who you are, but tell me who you are again. Oh, my name's Eric Carr. I died of lung cancer in 1991. Oh, okay. Like, who are you? I'm Earl. I died getting shot at Third Wheel. There's been some shootings there lately.
I've heard.
Yikes.
So, you know, that's how I imagine. You have to almost reintroduce yourself to
Interesting.
People.
Okay.
Like, obviously, your parents, oh, my, I think that's Earl. And, oh, my
yeah.
God, it's Jim and Virginia Skakel. And there's Leroy, the dog.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's not like that. But that's what in my, I guess, my head, I hope it's
yeah, like. Yeah. Well, there would be some of that, I think, naturally, if everyone's being, you know, like, resurrected or there in right. their prime. You wouldn't recognize your mom and dad. If they're there at like 30, you know what I mean?
Because well,
you don't remember them as 30-year-olds,
I'm guessing.
I guess
I'm hoping that when we go
or
up,
whatever the prime age is.
Yeah, like mine would be, I don't know, now.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. and then so you're at least able to recognize.
Yes.
Like when you died, I'm up there before you. I'll see, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, hey.
Good
right.
time on that podcast.
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Or the numbers.
Average listeners, what's going on?
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful sentiment. And there's no better setup for our final segment. So let's just get into it.
So we are going to a segment that I like to call What's the Deal with Mormons, where I've been pestering Earl here with questions about his religious beliefs. So we're going to turn it over to you. Pester me with a couple questions about my religious beliefs. I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly known as Mormon. What do you want to know?
Well, I only... See, I did no research on this podcast.
That's
so
great.
That's my favorite questions.
Yeah.
Well, I like to, I'm better off the cuff, and since I am such a Killers fan, and I'm familiar with, like, Brandon Flowers. And, yep.
Okay.
Can you guys have multiple wives?
No, we cannot.
What religion is that? Because I'd like
that
to
is Mormon.
Well, that oh. well, so to be technical, it is a sect of what they call fundamentalists. They call themselves fundamentalist Mormons. But that's not my church. It's a different religious group. So my church we did practice polygamy in the early days after Joseph Smith. Like, Joseph Smith instituted it, and then it lasted until late 1800s
yep.
and stopped.
That's too bad.
yeah, real shame. It's a real shame. We'll see what happens, though. I mean, honestly, in all honesty, the Supreme Court might allow for polygamist marriages to come back. Based on how they've worded the laws around or the court decisions around same-sex marriage, right. So it might be something
that
is
Marriage Protection Act or whatever they signed recently.
No. That's a different thing. I'm just saying that legally, with court cases, it's about love between people, and not about man and woman.
And people could imply
multiple people, yeah. Like because a polygamous marriage is a marriage between a man and a woman and that same man and another woman.
Got it. So we're just waiting for that thruple to basically challenge it all the way up until the Supreme Court.
Right.
We're just waiting.
Yeah.
We're just waiting
we're
for
all,
our loving,
we're all
loving
waiting.
And loving versus.
We're
the
all
state
waiting
of
with bated breath. Yeah, I mean, who knows what'll happen? But my church has never come out against the practice of polygamy, saying it's evil. So it could be that it's reinstituted. Who knows?
Now, I think the last time I was actually in church was I guess it would be deemed a gay church because it.
Oh.
Is a church. I live in West Hollywood, like in the heart. So I was just like, I think I'm going to go in and just check it out. It's been a minute. And what is the Mormon stance on like gay marriage and like gays overall?
Yeah. So troubled past, I guess, depending on how you want to view the social norm or what it should be. But my faith believes in a man and a woman getting married. So my church has been against gay marriage. They like publicly petitioned against it when the Prop 8 stuff was going on in California. So yeah, I mean, the official church stance is marriage is between a man and a woman. As far as like homosexual members of the church, yeah, the church's stance is that you can have essentially like, this is where it gets maybe a little bit weird about splitting hairs. We love everybody. But if you're going to be a practicing homosexual, someone who is gay and having gay sex or trying to be in a gay relationship, that is frowned upon within the faith. You shouldn't be doing that.
Well, it's just, not, I don't know if funny is the right word, but like living in West Hollywood where like I'm literally the only straight guy in my 24-unit building.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met a gay Mormon.
Yeah, no,
I can't be, right?
I've met well, very few not, Mormons.
Yes, there are members of my church who are homosexual. Mm. Some of them end up getting married in heterosexual relationships, and there's like a varied turnout rate of how that goes. You know what I mean? Some are kind of making, like, they make that work. Most don't, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But as far as like the way we view it is we all have temptations. We all have kind of things that we're overcoming in this life. And we do view homosexuality as like a trial. It's something that that you should try to overcome. Right.
Now, Mitt Romney, is he Mormon? Or
yeah. What? Yeah.
Cause he, now I don't know if this had anything to do with his religion, but
yeah,
he seemed too honest.
Like, what do you mean?
Well,
like during
know,
his campaign?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He seemed to like actually give the answer that he really believed in.
Right.
Where like, you know, Trump and
most other politicians don't.
Yeah, like, yeah. To me, that's sad because it's why I think he lost.
I agree.
Cause
I think there are a few
honest.
Reasons he lost. Oh, well, but yeah, yes, but yes.
Other,
yeah, that's one for sure.
You know, so do you ever see a Mormon politician becoming president, or is it too niche?
I don't know
of a base.
Yeah, I don't know. I think not, just based on the way society's going. I think like with the younger generation seem to be wary of organized religion and those who follow it.
Yeah.
So I don't see it being politically advantageous to be publicly Mormon or publicly any organized faith. You know,
right.
I mean, I think it sort of cuts against Biden now that he's like, I'm a very religious Catholic. I think most people look at him. I look at him as being somewhat hypocritical. I think most people look at him and think that same thing. Or you shouldn't let religion dictate how you govern politically.
Right.
And I think most people are wary of someone who's very religious governing politically.
I mean, then again, no one can win. Like, technically, an atheist doesn't hold any office or can't. Even Bernie, who probably is an atheist.
Wait, what do you mean they can't?
Oh, dude, there's no openly atheistic politician in Washington right now.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Even though, you know.
But they could.
I
think there are a lot who are closeted atheists.
There's a lot of people.
What's the difference?
Yeah, lots of closeted atheists. You yeah, still, the to run, closeted, you got to pick one. Like, it's a required yeah. choice to pick one.
I don't
scares
know about
the
that.
Midwest.
I think, well, most yeah. people don't
when you
talk.
Don't believe in God. It's
sure. But most people don't they just don't talk about their religion on
yeah,
the
true.
Political campaign.
Yeah, but I mean, every president's had a religious advisor, you know what I mean?
Kennedys, they had
yeah.
a big, they won basically because of the Catholic.
Sure.
It was kind of a big deal that he
yes,
was Catholic.
And it was a very big deal. I just think it's going to cut against people as they run now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just fascinated with politics and religion because, like,
yeah.
you know, if you were Mormon and you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, like, you lose the gay vote. But then if you said, yeah, I'm cool with gays being married, then you lose the Mormon
yeah,
vote. Like,
yeah,
it's so,
well, I mean, the way that I would cut it is we need to get politics and religion divorced.
Right.
Completely.
But is that really realistic?
I mean, in some ways, I think it is. I think, I mean, I don't know. In an ideal world, I think it would be nice to
well,
just be like, hey,
you.
Let's just have civil unions. And I think you could get something passed along those lines with marriage.
Well, in a way, you know? I mean, like, because like, me and Katie are married, but we didn't get married at any church, right?
Did you guys get married in Vegas?
No. We got married
at a courthouse, right?
No, it was just an event hall.
Ah, okay.
We got married by a gay comedian in Ohio.
Okay.
He was ordained online.
Was it Tony Falcone? I think I know.
No, a guy named Brent Bowser. He's a Cincinnati Dayton comic.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you, Brent. Miss you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, technically, no religion would acknowledge our marriage, but legally, we are married.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's why I like that, though. That's a removal of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like when religious people talk about marriage, they're just talking about the religious aspect. Like, technically, yeah, we're course. Not married if we were Mormon, because we didn't get married at a temple, right?
No. You'd be married under, like, well, you law. Just haven't. Yeah, but you haven't, like, I think this is why it should be divorced.
Right.
Pardon
no, I'm
the pun.
Agreeing with you, yeah.
Yeah, but in a Mormon church, you'd be recognized as married. You haven't been married in a temple, but you'd still be married.
Well, now, I just think maybe that disconnect would be better for people.
Sure, but I mean that's what people on the religious right are concerned about when we talk about laws, right. And then because there's so much overlap with church getting government assistance, and then the concern is if you make it legal but you can't discriminate, how does a church do that unless they're forced into one position or another? Either they follow what the government is requiring,
right.
Or they give up all of their money or tax exempt status or whatever you know, it makes it tough.
Yeah.
There's so much more you're missing, but that's all we got time for. Please head to patreon.com/disorganizedreligion for the entire episode. Now we'll just go for the final thoughts from Earl Skakel and some plugs so you know what's going on with the rest of us.
In the comedy world, you know, it's a tough world to navigate with a religious mindset.
Yeah.
Because it's such a kill or be killed.
Yeah.
And F this person. Why is this person? You know, you shouldn't be jealous.
Sure.
Seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
We probably all picked the toughest field to navigate a religious Zen philosophy in.
Yeah. Well, we're making it work.
Because I'm wearing like
the
devil's band, Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, anything you want to plug, Earl? Any upcoming shows?
Yes, her name is... No, I'm just kidding. I'll be at the... When is this out?
This will be out Sunday.
Okay, well, 4 days before you're going to see this, I'll be at the Comedy Store Thursday, but this
excellent.
Show... watch the Jellies on Adult Swim and HBO Max.
Yeah.
If you like Roast Battle, Comedy Central. I'm Dying Up Here is on Showtime. I think all these networks are free. You could stream for free. And if you're ever in L.A., come to the Comedy Store. And I'll take care of you. Just Instagram me, at Earl Skakel. And that's it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thanks for doing this, man.
Oh, I love talking.
Hell yeah.
And we love listening. We appreciate it. Anything you two want to plug? Katie, anything for you?
No, I'm good.
Travis?
Not that I can remember right now. Maybe for next week's episode. Okay.
All right, cool. Sweet. All right. Hey, everybody, have a great week. We'll catch you next time.
There is hope for you today. Come to Jesus. He is the way.